This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another special podcast on Joy 94.9. Is David Bowie is more Bowie. Can't get enough Bowie. This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. And we have this morning Professor Robin Healy in the studio talking to us. She, of course, is the acclaimed curator and fashion researcher of RMIT's School of Fashion and Textiles here in Melbourne town. Welcome, Robin.
Welcome
to the show. Now, you were involved with, in particular, the Bowie Symposium for David Bowie Is on Friday the 17th of July at an unusual time, 3:35 p.m. exactly, it seems. that's on the schedule. And first of all, your background.
I suppose I have an interesting background for this one. I'm wearing several hats. One of them is a head of a school of fashion textile. So for me, the David Bowie exhibition is very interesting from the point of view of its impact on the next generation of designers. So at our school, we have students studying to be designers, to be fashion buyers, merchandisers, communicators, a whole range of things. So for me, I'm interested in this next wave of David Bowie when they actually see an exhibition such as this. My background is also curatorial, exhibitions. So I'm also interested in the exhibition from the point of view of how all that material comes together and what it actually says, the experience. What happens when you go into the space and you're confronted with all this archive, which I imagine will be quite overwhelming.
Yeah, because he's personally, this is a lot of his own personal
this
stuff.
This is all his stuff, which he just took to the Victoria and Albert Museum and said, here it is. And
incredible.
I think that's to get into a personal archive is really quite rare. So you've got handwritten notes, as well as the sort of iconic things people would expect to see in sort of well-known garments and, of course, music, which people are incredibly well-versed in.
Yes. It's amazing, just from myself doing a little bit of research in the last few weeks, the songs just pop into your head and you know them. They're branded on your brain.
And I think for many of us, we're sort of rediscovering. I suppose I call them to myself Bowie moments when I hear
Bowie
a song.
Moments, yeah.
And I suddenly think, that was when, for myself. And I'm sure there's a lot of people going through Bowie moments. But there's also people that have never had that Bowie moment. So I think it's interesting. Like, I have a younger son who's, 13. And he thinks, who is this dude, Mum? And I sort of try and sort of, and I've been sharing some of the music. And he is quite fascinated. By this character.
Because the character it is. I keep thinking of like an alien, actually, more and more. The more I'm discovering, thinking, is he actually human?
Yeah, well.
That's the question. But for you, looking at, obviously, fashion, it's not just clothing. It's the style that he brings and he has brought to the masses over time. How will you be looking at that? I mean, that's quite a lot of eclectic, interesting stuff there.
There is so much. He's the most referenced musician in fashion history.
Is he? Really?
So, and recently the BBC History magazine looked at the most influential figure on our style in Britain.
Okay.
And Bowie was voted number one.
Wow.
Above Queen Elizabeth I.
Goodness.
So when you start...
I thought you were going to say Queen Elizabeth II.
No,
handbags, the hats.
No, that's right. No. We've all seen Elizabeth I movies, though, with all the ruffles and things.
Yes, so the collars.
I think, and, you know, the referencing to that. Mm. So I think you start to see this incredible influence. And I think because the music and the garments were so together, like a composition, it wasn't a sort of an artificial pastiche. It was very authentic in terms of the sorts of personas and characters that Bowie was putting across. Mm. And that's where often there's quite a difference, where sometimes people just think, oh, you know, that's very commercial, they're dressed up like that. But if you go back to the early 70s and into the 80s, there's genuine authenticity in the composition of the music. And Bowie himself says he's not that interested in fashion. Now I would say he is. Like, you know, he does modeling for Louis Vuitton. I mean, you know, he's in a different part of his life. So the interesting ways he's worked with fashion have changed. But in that early period, it was very influential because it all came together. Mm. And I think that's where, and the people that exposed to that was quite extraordinary. And many designers today, because part of what I'm going to be talking about at Acme is about contemporary fashion design and the influence of David Bowie today, rather than just going back to the 70s and what happened then.
Yep.
And it's interesting because a lot of these designers have sort of found out about that period either through older brothers and sisters, through record covers they've discovered that have got pictures, or an idea of something. So you've got designers now that are still influenced by what happened in that 70s moment, where suddenly you had this individualism, this blurring of gender boundaries.
Mm, yes.
And, you know, fashion is an incredibly conservative industry. You know, we still have menswear collections. We still have womenswear collections.
Yes, right.
We still have autumn, winter, spring, summer, you know.
Yeah.
So you can see why designers gravitate towards these moments, again, going back to our Bowie moments, when you actually see this quite refreshing breakdown and a very an accessibility. I mean, on a stage, performance, record covers, these are things that are readily accessible to very broad audiences.
Mm.
So it's not the front row of Paris or the, you know,
exactly,
in the collections. Yeah. So I think this is where it runs deep. So designers today will still pick up iconic photographs that will inspire collections, or the music. Ironically, you know, the music fashion, the actual song fashion, is actually, you know, alerting people to this sort of this overt control fashion has over you, and you actually become, you know, robotic in terms
of responding to
trends rather than, hey, stuff that, I'm going to make my own fashion. So there's some interesting tensions in terms of fashion and Bowie, but I think he does give people confidence in this idea of dressing, you know, dressing to be yourself. And I think that's probably, for me and looking at the students that I work with now, you know, really important that when they go to an exhibition like that, they get a sense of that everyone doesn't have to be the same.
Mm. Yeah, there's a danger that everyone becomes very mediocre. He's never been mediocre. I don't think I've ever heard that description of Bowie. No,
and also the looks.
Mm.
So however you describe them, and looks can often, I suppose, take away from the depth of those actual moments again, is that it was always changing, that it wasn't just the formula. You know, now it's Ziggy Stardust and that's it forever. No. That was for a particular time and then it moved on. And that evolution, I think, is interesting. So I think something like an exhibition, I think, as I said to you before, possibly very overwhelming for a lot of people, is that you'll suddenly see it all together rather than... And I think that will be a very interesting point when you start to see how those evolutions of those different moments and what that did to different people. And some moments speak more deeply to others, you know. Mm. So for me, there are certain moments that are not so interesting, others that are more interesting. And I think that's also... But he was incredibly brave. And I think when we go to the 70s, in terms of looking at some of those garments he was wearing, this bravery. And I think now we get so shy about certain things. Mm. I mean, those incredible garments he wore designed by Kansai Yamamoto. Mm. I mean, this also with Japanese design, people were only just beginning to look at the Japanese. You know, it was all about Paris and London.
Mm.
And here we've got Bowie really into, you know, Tokyo design. I mean, even that in terms of picking up.
So there'll be the iconic balloon-legged.
Those balloon-legged and also the knitted garment with the bare leg. That's yes, all Kanzai
one-legged
Yamamoto.
Jumpsuit thing.
The silk kimonos with the embroidery, yes. Very risque open, you know, and yeah. Then the red jock strap underneath or whatever. I mean, they are. But again, the Japanese looked at garments very differently. The whole kabuki style of Japanese theatre, and then, you know, men wearing makeup in kabuki theatre. So there's lots of interesting
threads
there.
The way he did
there.
His hair, everything. The way you know, that's
hair.
All.
Yeah, so you get this sort of, so there's an interesting sort of Japanese thing happening in there, which I think, you know, and then it becomes something else. So again, this composition, as I go back to Bowie and the composition, in the mix it becomes Bowie. So all these different elements come together, and then you've got this composition, which is the music, the garments, you know, the whole persona is where it's so powerful. When you pull them apart, and I think often when you see, and again, being a fashion curator, often when you see garments on their own, it can be disappointing because you sort of think, where's the performer? Where's
there's no life in it because there's nobody wearing it too, I guess.
But I would say to people, this is when you actually have a look at what they really were like, and they were really quite amazing in terms of the materials and the colours to get that close to really see. And look, performance garments look best from a distance because they're on stage and you need the lighting to really, you know, so something like the kimono with the satin, it'd flash on stage because of the satin.
The lights,
when you see it close up, maybe not so impactful, but you do have the film clips there.
Yeah.
So when you get a sense of that, you start to see how incredible to see these garments that in their day were really so...
You wouldn't wear them on the street probably without being threatened.
Well, they would have looked alien. Would have had that alien. So going back to your earlier comment about aliens, is he an alien? I mean, I think, and again, the most extreme garments were coming out from Kanzai Yamamoto. So... he wasn't picking the safe knitted jumpers and the matching pants.
Mm.
This was something quite different. So I think that those moments would have been really quite overwhelming for people when they saw those. And even now, you wait, when people see those garments, those Kanzai Yamamoto, they will still have go, whoa. It wouldn't have lost it.
Yeah, someone's more that.
Yeah. But also that radicalness of them.
Mm.
You know, these oversized, asymmetric. Look on the streets today. Look at what people wear. So when you see these things, you can see this extremity of really pushing, you know, pushing what a body's like. So you're either showing the body off or you're distorting the body.
Mm.
So I think that's really interesting when you start to see that.
Yeah.
And with all the lights, the music and all that combination, absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. And so early on, like, that was the 70s and doing that.
Early 70s.
Incredible.
So this is where, you know, people go, whoa. And just simple things like hair.
Mm.
You know, and you go back and you start to look at hair, the coloured hair, you know, and these really extreme makeup. But even when just the subtleties of starting to put like just a bit of eyeshadow, a bit of eyeliner, you know, in its day, quite extraordinary.
There's the one, the Life on Mars, and the powder blue suit, and he's got the matching eyeshadow that's just extreme around the eyes. No one was doing that, not for a long time. And
no,
it's quite shocking. It's a very simple video, but it's really interesting.
Well, the other one, the photo that I was looking at the other day is the picture of him with his wife, Angie, and he's pushing their young son Zoe in a pram, but Bowie's got the big buffy hat and the really full pants that looks like it's a skirt, and then Angie's got the pants on and the leather jacket.
So it's a
really interesting moment, and also he's pushing the pram, so it actually, in terms of those sorts of really powerful images. And that's where a lot of contemporary designers have looked to David Bowie to unsettle some of those conservatisms in the fashion industry, to break it up a bit.
Yeah.
And as I say, we're still a long way away from, although a recent collection at Selvedge's called Agenda is actually looking at breaking down gender-specific clothing. And they've actually put together this collection called Agenda, which, again, is all mixed up. And it's just, you know, regardless of who you are, it's a collection that anyone can delve into, young, old, whatever gender you identify with.
Interesting.
So I think that's, it is 2015.
I know, it's crazy.
No, I'll just throw that in there. It is 2015. So that in itself is still interesting. So I think there's a context here that's still really relevant. So the interesting thing is that a lot of the issues that David Bowie was about 1971 are still relevant today.
Yeah.
So that's where the contemporary issues, and that's why the part that I will talk in the symposium is not going into nostalgia. It's actually about now.
What it affects now.
What it does now. And ripples. Also for new generations who are not familiar with a lot of that, it'll be interesting to see the reception of that.
I mean, just, I don't know if you've seen online, just briefly, the protests as such, or the activism about women's nipples being seen on Instagram or Facebook,
social media
as such, and taping pictures of men's nipples on their nipples
to show online.
And it just reminds me of when Bowie exposed his nipple, a man's nipple.
Yes.
And what outrage.
I know.
In England. But yet they're some of the most eccentric artistic forms.
I know.
Like the Queen, of course, and all these people have come out of England, yet they still get quite offended by the nipple.
But also often in a very traditional culture, that's where you do get the breakaways.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's interesting moments. I was also reading an interview where David Bowie actually interviewed Alexander McQueen.
Mm.
And that was very interesting with here you've got these two sort of, you know, iconic figures in British culture. But again, intrinsically bad boys, buck the system, you know, all those things. But that's how things progress.
I believe the wonderful coat.
Yes,
with the Union Jack will be there. I mean, that's... It's like a cut-up, and, of course, that goes back to his influence of his music and William Burroughs and so on.
And it's,
but
and
it
it's
looks like someone's slashed
it's
and
like it's
shoved
decayed.
It on him. Yeah, yeah.
It's a breakdown. So rather than having a pristine surface, it's actually a garment breaking down, which is quite powerful when you think it's like a flag.
Yeah.
So it's a breakdown of...
And the time when it came out, was it 1990?
A society.
Breakdown of post-Thatcherism.
There are cracks in the system. So there's lots of interesting sort of potency in a lot of that. It's just a coat. But clothing actually conveys really powerful message in terms of communicating things. And because people have that intimacy with them, you do have a chance to have that impact. So I think when people see that coat and get a chance to really look at it, they will sense things that perhaps are not so obvious in the photographs. So going back to that experience when you see the garments up close, that's when you start to see those subtleties that actually are not subtle at all.
Fascinating. Yeah, it's going to be quite the exhibition and may need longer than November, I think, for people to digest it and for people to come from all over the country to come and see it. It's a big event.
Oh, I think people will come from everywhere. Yeah. I mean, the figures they got in London at the Victoria and Albert Museum, it just broke all records. They couldn't believe that there was this draw.
Mm.
But I think, I mean, just... People are talking about it. I mean, I've had people talk to me about it. Say, you're in the Symbo, because they're so excited about the show. And, you know, I know people that will come from New Zealand, all over Australia, and possibly further afield. Because, again, to have something like that, and it's not, because a lot of people, you know, you get your critics saying, it's myth-making or whatever. But I think a show like this, because it's got so many different things, you know, going back to those Bowie moments, it's really up to people to experience their own way of looking at this exhibition. So you go in there and people will look at different parts of it. I mean, some people, for instance, will be interested in just how he wrote lyrics, because there's really rare material like that. Mm. While people like me will probably look mainly at the garments.
Mm.
But then there's also, I'm interested in what the people look like who go to the exhibition, because I'd imagine
there's going to be a lot of fans as well.
I think that'll be just as interesting. I'm hoping there's a lot of good makeup, a lot of good hair, and a lot of tight pants.
Yeah.
But, you know,
big balloony ones.
Big balloony ones. Yeah. You know, so I think, and that's where sometimes it's the scene attached to the exhibition.
Well, there's so many offshoots of different things happening. There's a lot of fan stuff happening.
Fans,
there's music happening. There's late nights. There's the symposium.
Yeah.
To kick it all off, that's going to be massive. And and onwards, there's going to be strange fascinations with different public talks and
lots of people who study. So going back to symposium, there are lots of people who study this David Bowie phenomena.
In terms of what that does.
And I think that in itself. So when you think of the impact of someone like that, it's really quite extraordinary. And then now sort of coming out of sort of enigmatic sort of character who sort of comes in and out of the public so even how the exhibition was started and not necessarily being part of that, being interviewed and, you know, just sort of still lurking there, but not in there, which I think's, again, very, very David Bowie intensive.
Very, very David Bowie. Okay. Now, if you had to choose a outfit, a costume, a cos, some fashion item. If you had to choose one, sorry, but I do this to everyone, whatever their speciality is, what would be the clothing of David Bowie you would choose?
Well, I'd have to go for Kanzo Yamamoto. I'd probably, you know, maybe that knit, the knit one-legged.
The one-legged bit.
I think so.
whatever that is.
Because it is so extraordinary. But I also have to say there are some killer shoes and things like that. So some of the accessories are actually probably. So I'd be torn. I'd actually be torn. I'd be one of those hard people who'd be, you know, there's a lot. But I do think the Kanzo Yamamoto moment is quite extraordinary.
Incredible. And still, you know, like, offends people today, which is marvellous.
Well, there's
and inspires,
but also stuff that, you know, in the context, you just think, wow, that's so, again, this bravery, this incredible bravery.
So your talk is going to be Friday the 17th, 3:30 p.m. sharp, and
we're on a very tight schedule, as
well, obviously. Very, very important and absolutely wonderful. And I hope people go along, and certainly we hope it's a success. I'm sure it will be. I want to thank you so much for speaking to us, Professor Robin Healy.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much for speaking to us on Joy about just some of the Bowie costumes, outfits, I'm not sure what we call them, badges of style. The man certainly has an impressive wardrobe.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the special podcast about David Bowie.
It included many of the folks who were at ACMI and the David Bowie Is forums and exhibitions held only in Melbourne until November 1st, 2015. We hope you enjoyed this. We'll have more podcasts to come.
Thank you for listening to the special David Bowie presentation by Joy 94.9.
Interviews helmed by Sonia Hammer from Sci-Fi and Screen and Queer Geeks of Oz and Geek Girls Speak. Enjoy this podcast.
I've always felt that, you know, it doesn't matter who you fall in love with.
Basic human rights should apply to all people, including gay people. Hi, I'm Emma Caulfield.
And I'm Amber Benson.
And you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.